Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with your commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. I want to talk about quietness in our souls, but I don't want to talk primarily about how to psychologically get quiet and how to deal with all the things that can be stirring in our minds. I really want to focus on what's important to a disciple so that we can listen to the Lord, because it's necessary to cultivate quietness if we want to hear the Lord. There are times when we do all the talking, we don't give him any room. And we need to learn to listen to him. The foundation of that call to listen is the Shema. Shema Yisrael. Listen, Israel. The Haftorah this week includes a focus on good news from God. There's a prophetic word from Isaiah 52 that we want to concentrate on. If you have your Bibles with you, I want to see them. If you have a paper Bible, show me. Good for you. Congratulations. If you've got your digital Bibles, you can wave them at me. If you've got one of each, lift up both your hands. And I want to encourage you to follow along in the scriptures and to read them carefully, to look at them while we're studying. Because if you don't look at the scriptures when we're studying these things, you won't be able to examine the scriptures yourself. It's important, if you don't have a Bible, sit next to someone who does. How do you know if someone else has one? Just look in their lap, and you will see. And I want to ask you to turn to Isaiah chapter 52. We're going to look at just a handful of verses, starting in verse 6. And I want to read those to you to begin. My people will know my name. Therefore, in that day, they will know that it is I who speak. Yes, it is I. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices together. They shout for joy when the Lord returns to Zion. They will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. I want to cover very quickly five ways you can use this good news to cultivate quietness in your soul. And the starting point, the first thing I want to focus on is that in order to develop quietness in the soul and rest in the soul, it's necessary to have a personal relationship with God. And I have found out over the years that many people are truly believers and really love God, but sometimes forsake the personal relationship with God and can live a life more as a student or as someone who's just trying to be ethical or someone who's serious but has lost that two-way communication with God. Now, let me describe to you how two-way communication can go. Let's say you're in a terrible situation and you're afraid. What could you say to the Lord? Help. And what if he says, don't be afraid? What could you say? Okay. That's one answer. Really? That's another answer. And for many people, the answer I'm going to share with you is also real. But Lord, I am afraid. You see, when God says, don't be afraid, it doesn't mean the conversation's over and we're supposed to just shut up and stop. It means we're supposed to dialogue with him. And when he says, don't be afraid, and we are afraid, we speak to him the truth. And then in his response to our honesty, we'll be able to cast our anxiety upon him. The worst thing you can possibly do when he says, don't be afraid, and you're still afraid, is just to stop talking and run away from him. A personal relationship is foundational, and that involves conversation. Conversation means you take turns talking and you take turns listening. Now let's look at that first verse that we read in Isaiah 52, verse 6. My people will know my name, therefore they shall know in that day that I am he who speaks. Behold, it is I. I'm the one who says, look, it's me. You know, God knows your name, but he wants you to know his name. That's very important to him. I want to encourage you, don't be shy about the name Yeshua. Don't dance around it. Don't avoid it. It's a good name. You may have to explain it to people. I have. I know some Messianic rabbis, they've explained it so many times to so many people for so many years that they now say, Yeshua Jesus. And just join it together just in case. But don't be shy about Yeshua. We're to know his name and to be intimate with him. And as you develop messianic experience and identity, you will find you can pray in the name of Yeshua. It's not just that you come to services and you use Yeshua, you go home and you use Jesus or something else. It's not that he won't understand you if you use different names. It's simply this, that when you call him by his original Hebrew name, it will connect you to his original Jewish identity. There's no way around that. The other thing that is spoken of here is that the Lord speaks. And this is very important because it says, in that day, by Yom HaHu, which speaks not of the age of Isaiah and not of the age in which the second temple existed later on, but in the last days, in the days that we're living in. The Lord speaks, and that helps us understand something. His word is not just for long ago. He wants to speak to us now, spirit to spirit. He promises he's going to speak to us in that way. And the first thing he wants to speak to us, and he may speak this first thing over and over and over again, it's this. It is I. I am speaking to you. He more than anything, wants to reveal himself to us. I shared a little bit on Saturday last week. The good news is not Messianic Judaism. The good news is our redemption in Messiah Yeshua. And so we don't have a message of proclamation of Messianic Judaism. We have a message that is messianic Jewish about the good news of Yeshua. Do you see the difference? Don't put your hope in messianic Judaism. Don't put your hope in any Judaism. Don't put your hope in Christianity. Don't put your hope in any religious faith. Put your hope in God. He's the one who you can trust. In Jeremiah 4, the Lord says it so simply, if you will return, return to me. He wants us to return to him and to have that personal relationship. That is the starting point. Now, some people who have been believers for even decades may say, Rabbi, why are you covering this? I already know this. The reason I'm covering this today is because every week I talk to believers, some who have been believers for a few weeks, some for a few months, some for a few years, some for a few decades. And people slip away from the personal relationship with God and they get in the habit of just doing stuff. And I want to encourage you, don't fall into that habit. If you're in it, come back. There is something called first love. Come back to your first love. Remember every good thing God has done for you. Now, the second thing I want to draw out is simply the good news. The good news is necessary to remember constantly. When we remember the good news, our souls become quiet. When we forget the good news, we get in trouble. This world is filled with bad news. If you want to watch CNN all day long or Fox News all day long, pretty soon you'll be depressed because you will think everything that's happening is bad. And you will forget there is good news. The good news of politicians is not to be confused with the good news of God. Good economic news is not the same thing as the good news from God. This world can weigh us down and our souls can be overwhelmed by bad news, but not just bad news, bad circumstances, troubles, sorrows, and more. Anybody had a hard time with anything in the last year? The last few minutes, yeah. And it can weigh us down, can't it? And we can get lost in all of that. It's important to remember the good news. Isaiah 52, verse 7 says it this way, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news." That has two sides to it. Yeshua, who brings good news to us, and every one of us who has covered our feet, if you will, with the preparation of the Gospels. The feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, the Hebrew says, who proclaims Yeshua, and who says to Zion, "Your God reigns." Now, there's a difference in saying "our God reigns" and "your God reigns." The difference is really important. When we say "your God reigns," we're calling people into the victory of God in their own life. When we're saying "our God reigns," we may be saying like we're exclusively blessed. It's important to learn to speak to other people and say "your God reigns." They might say, "Well, I don't even believe in God." I like to tell them that doesn't matter. He still believes in you. Because if he didn't believe in you, you would stop existing. And your time would be up. It would all be over. Remember the good news. Later on in Isaiah chapter 63, verse 7, "I will tell of the kindnesses of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised." I'm going to tell other people about the mercies and the kindnesses that God has shown me. "According to all that the Lord has done for us." Yes, the many good things he's done for the house of Israel, according to his compassion and many kindnesses. So we have to remember the good news, and that good news, as we'll look at in just a minute, is not just connected to you privately or individually, it's connected to us corporately, and it's also connected to the people Israel nationally. And we're to celebrate that good news, to remember every good thing that God has done. Connected to this good news is not that we just remember it, but we bring it to other people. If you have good news and you don't tell anybody else how they can experience it, it's a little bit selfish. When we bring good news to other people and we tell other people the good news of Yeshua, you know, it actually helps our souls become quiet. Because when we start sharing with people who are in trouble or their life is just upside down or going in all the wrong directions, the truth of God's goodness can bring peace to them. And when you care about that person and you see peace in their life, it'll bring something good to you. If you've got a troubled teenager, for instance, or a troubled parent, and you can speak to them about the good news of God, and they start receiving that good news, they can settle down. That'll make you feel better if you love them. It's important as well for us to think of the kingdom of God as a present reality. When we say "your God reigns," we're saying God is on the throne. Now, some people think of the kingdom of God as exclusively having to do with heaven when you die. That is way too limited. The kingdom of God is a reality presently. It's a growing reality, and it will continue to grow, and it touches this world and the world to come. So if you say "your God reigns" and then you switch into talking about the kingdom of God and you only mean heaven, what you're saying is my good news for you is only about what happens when you die physically. And actually, people need to know about the good news for when they're alive physically. But What people really need good news for is when they're already dead spiritually, so that they can be revived and resurrected spiritually and finish out this life with joy and gladness in order to go into the next life well prepared for joy. Paul wrote in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 2:2, he said, "You know how badly we've been treated at Philippi just before we came to you and how much we suffered there." That sounds like normal Jewish kvetching, doesn't it? It's not. "And yet our God gave us the courage to declare his good news to you boldly in spite of great opposition." You see, some people face difficulty by just being pushed down by it, and they feel like life's so hard, all they can do is tell you their bad news. "Well, how are things going?" "Terrible." "So, you tell me about the latest in your life." "It's awful. It's rotten." That's the bad news. I just tell them, "You should be on CNN. Paul says, even though we had terrible opposition, we came to you with boldness and told you the good news. We had great resistance, and yet we had good news to bring you. I remember we were doing an outreach in Moscow in the early 90s after the former Soviet Union had opened up. And on one night, there was a bomb threat. And we had to actually leave the stadium, and the whole event was evacuated, and then we had to deal with it. And I think it was a couple of years later we found out that the bomb threat was actually more real than we had imagined, that there was an ultra-right-wing nationalist group called Legion Werewolf that had planned to assault the stadium we were in and to blow it up and to kill Messianic Jews and every Jewish person who'd gathered there, because they were just rabid anti-Semites and they were like this underground terrorist group. And the way we found out is through the police, who later told us that there was like this rivalry inside of that group, and before they could carry out their plans, they attacked each other. And some of them killed others, they got arrested, and only when the investigation took place and they found the plans for the violence was it really clear just how serious they were. But when we were evacuated, you know what our immediate response was? How do we set up outside in order to share the good news? And we had to continue to think, despite opposition and resistance, how do you go forward anyway? Paul said, God gave us courage. You see, that's the missing ingredient. You may have good news religiously, but if you can't convey courage to people when they're in trouble, it won't be enough for them. The third thing I want to talk about is worship. When we worship God with joy, our souls quiet down. Now, when I say joy, I don't mean fake joy, I mean real joy. And whatever it takes to allow joy to develop in you, it's important to get it. Isaiah 52, verse 8 says, "Your watchmen will lift up their voices. With their voices they will sing together, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord brings back Zion." You see, there is a joy that is supposed to fill our hearts because God is faithful to the Jewish people. He's brought the Jewish people back to the land. He's not finished in what he's doing with the Jewish people. And when we're worshiping with joy, it does something for our hearts. It quiets us down. It actually enables us to listen to the Lord differently. Going along with this, it's not just worshiping with joy that's important. It's worshiping with other people who have joy. If you're the only joyful person in a room and you're trying to worship, it's tough, isn't it? If you're with a group of people who don't want you to lift your hands when you feel like lifting your hands and worshiping, and they look at you strange, you may want to just put your hands back down. It's important to be able to worship with other people. And when we're worshiping with other people, our souls quiet down because sometimes we see someone else in worship and it has an impact on us. Or someone else leads us into worship and it has a positive impact. The fourth thing I want to talk about is the restoration of the Jewish people. From Isaiah 52, verse 8, I just mentioned, when the Lord brings back Zion, that's when we'll rejoice together. You see, the restoration of the Jewish people, the return of the Jewish people to God and to the land deserves our attention, and the watchmen of Israel are to pray and to worship. The return of Israel is a marker event for world history. And Israel's revival should be part of the content of our praise and our worship. We should be thanking God for the safety of the Jewish people, the revival of the Jewish people, for good things that are happening in Israel. You know, Israel discovered a deposit of natural gas off her shores that, as I understand, is the largest natural gas discovery in the world in the last 10 years. All these years, Israel's been saying, where's the oil? It turns out it was natural gas. And the new technologies that are available are going to help make Israel energy independent. And ultimately, I think, an exporter. And did you know that Israel is the most technologically sophisticated and varied in its use of water purification and reclamation, and has like a national interest in serving the world where there are water, freshwater shortages. And Israel has learned how to treat salt water, how to desalinate it, how to use drip irrigation for agriculture so that the smallest amount of water can go directly to the roots of a plant and cause incredible productivity, turning the desert into green. That's good news. The watchmen are not supposed to only look at the bad news. Do you hear what I'm saying? We're supposed to look at the good news. God's done a great thing. God did not bring the Jewish people to the land of Israel in order to destroy them, but in order to bless and save us. Isaiah 62, verse 11 says, the Lord has made a proclamation to the ends of the earth. Here's the proclamation. It's interesting in its form. The proclamation is a command to speak. It says, say to the daughter of Zion. Who's that addressed to? The whole earth is instructed to talk to Israel, to the Jewish people. To say to the daughter of Zion, see, your Savior comes. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. And then Yeshua actually, as I understand it, wants to restate that personally in Revelation 22:12. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. Going back to Isaiah 52, verse 9, it says, break forth into joy, sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem, because the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. God's salvation at work among the Jewish people. And so you and I are called to take heart and comfort and courage about the salvation of the Jewish people, the return of the Jewish people to the land, the restoration of the Jewish people, and the revival of the Jewish people. And one of God's purposes is to revive the people Israel so that we can be a light to the world. Not so that everything just ends quickly, but so that more good comes through it all. Now, the last thing that can bring quiet to our soul is to think carefully about the future and to take seriously that in the future, as Isaiah says, all of the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. in the future, God's salvation will be revealed everywhere. And that helps our souls get quiet. Do you know you can listen to enough fearful religious teachers on TV, on the radio, through the internet, that you can actually feel like everything is about to fall apart? And do you know what? In every age, everything's been ready to fall apart. The world system is always on the verge of falling apart. Sometimes it looks better than that. But in reality, the world system is unstable and cannot be relied upon. We do the best we can in it. But anyway, God's salvation is going to be revealed all over the world, no matter what. Psalm 50, verse 23, just want to end on this note. The one who sacrifices thank offerings honors me, and he prepares the way so that I may show him the salvation of God. You see, this sort of just wraps it all up. It's so important for you and me to stay close to God, to have that personal relationship with him, to hold on tightly, and to receive good news from him, to give good news to other people, to worship him and to worship with other people, and to take heart about the good things that he is doing, has done, and will do with the Jewish people and with the whole world. And when we start thanking God for all of that, you know what? God says, I'm coming down to show you salvation, to bring you good news. You need help. Is there anybody in the room who needs help? Could you use a hand from God? Is there something you don't have that you know he has? Well, let me tell you this. You start offering thanksgiving to him for all these things we're talking about. You start rejoicing. You read up on the good things that are happening in Israel. And don't just be Pollyannish. Don't only think about the good things. There are serious problems that are troubling Israel, many different kinds, including problems with their neighbors, problems with terrorists who want to destroy them, and so on. And we need to stand as watchmen. Watchmen are alert, awake, and on duty. Am I right? And paying attention. If you fall asleep and you're a watchman, where do you go? You're finished. If you're in the armed services, you get court-martialed, right? It's over. There's no excuse for us. We are called to be watchmen, to pay attention, to pray. And we have to pray in two ways. We have to pray with that shield of faith that God gives us regarding bad news. And we have to pray with the hope and the expectation that God gives us regarding good news. Don't get locked into praying only one or the other. You got to focus on both. You need a shield and you also need hope. You need to be able to deal with the hard stuff and also be able to deal with the good stuff. Because if you can't remember the good stuff, you lost the good news. Well, I want to pray for this congregation because I believe God wants to use us in more powerful ways to bring good news to other people. But I tell you this, unless you're already full of good news, you won't be able to share it with anybody else. If you don't believe it in your life, you will not be able to share it with other people. You can tell them about it, but they won't believe you, because your life will not verify the words that you're saying. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that you watch over us and you want to show your compassion and mercy to us and bring us good news. We are grateful for that, and we want your good news so deep in our hearts, so at work in our lives, that we can share the good news of Messiah Yeshua with everyone we meet who needs it. In his name we pray. Amen.